Welcome back, everyone. This is Eric Ellefson with the Digital Education Podcast, where I've kind of been doing a short series, you know, almost a daily series over the last couple of weeks with friends, with people that I really respect, people I've had the opportunity to have lots of conversations with about education in the past, but really just asking them a simple question about what's next. And today, I'm with a friend. We've been able to travel a bit and see a little bit of the world together. But Darren Speaksma, who is Director of Learning from of Society of Christian Schools in British Columbia. Darren, I'm just going to throw it into your ballpark. Thanks for being with me. Thanks for having this conversation. But what do you see is coming next?
Yeah, thanks, Eric. First of all, thanks for having me here. It's great to connect this way. Because I think it's pretty tough to, you know, boldly say with any sort of for sure, what is next? I'm going to take a bit of a different tact and say what I hope's next. It's been fascinating for us in British Columbia here in Canada to actually be one of the areas in North America that hasn't dealt with the brunt in the same way as it has across the country and across the continent. So there's a lot of people that aren't feeling the pinch as much as other people are. And so right away, the conversation gets to, you know, when do we get back? When can we get back to normal? And my heart actually sinks a little bit when I hear that. And so what I hope is next is as we navigate this interesting time over the next 6, 12, 18 months, that we do solidify what's essential. And for that, I actually want to, I hope schools are asking, why do we begin? What are schools for? Are we aiming for a resume? Or are we aiming for an obituary? You know, the Brooks sort of language. And as we walk that journey, I'm hoping, you know, there's some of that movement that we know is good for kids and good for learning. Is, are we bold enough to actually to grab a hold of some of that stuff? One of the fascinating things we've been able to see is traditional evaluation has pretty much gone out the window in our context. And we've seen a lot of descriptive feedback, multiple iterations, less is more. Some of those things that we've talked about out of necessity have happened. And I'm hoping that's the next, that we're able to grab some of those things. The other thing that I think is fascinating is teachers have always held on to the content. And now they're actually having to release the expectations and release what that looks like ahead of time and in advance. And then they're being surprised by what the kids are actually doing. And I'm hoping we're able to, as we kind of figure out what our new normal is, if we're going to call it that, that we can grab a hold of some of those things. But I do think we're going to have parents that are looking for flexibility and delivery. There are some kids, my daughter is a prime example, who she'd be happy to do a good part of school this way. And as I watch her, she manages her time well as a competitive dancer. And she has that skill set already because she's been dancing for 10 years. So in being in secondary and managing your time well at home is actually quite easy for her. And efficient for the right reasons, not efficient because it helps the bottom line, but efficient because it actually respects her time. So she can work on her craft and she actually has time to do other things because she's not sitting in class. She's not being restricted by the schedule. So I'm hoping for some efficiency, but efficiency for the right reasons, because it's about learning. And because school is more than sitting in desks, listening to teachers and talking about stuff. Can we create schedules where kids actually can work part of their high school experience and use that as learning for competency development and to connect back to the learning that's taking place? I'm hoping a resurgence of curiosity at the structural level, at the personalization, at the structural level, not because we're supposed to, but because it's actually good. So my hope is that ultimately those are all examples that schools might be able to grab that are instead of, can we just get back to the way it's been? That's my greatest fear, actually, in the conversation about what's next, is that we're in a race to get back to what has been, because it's what we know. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say, you know, this isn't the last pandemic of our lifetime because of how the world is and those sort of things. And so I think there's some diligence here, but I think ultimately, if we can use this, my what's next is what's best for kids. If we can get back to that, and how do we make structural decisions about that rather than decisions about, well, this is how we've always done it. For me, that's what I'm hoping is next. But it's going to take bold leadership. It's going to take the ability to step back out of the necessities. There's a lot of big ifs for schools and for school leadership and for staff, because it'd be a team effort if we're gonna go here.
Let me ask one last question, and it's a clarifying question, because I liked how you talked about curiosity and the structures that get in the place sometimes of promoting and creating the curious nature of what we try to do as learners. And I, you know, I've heard you talk about, you know, some of those things in the past, but what would be one thing that you've kind of, it's just been reiterated to you, like, this is such a waste of time, we need to stop doing this because it completely gets in the way of, and it is a structure, right? So one of those structural things, it gets in the way of building and developing or allowing the curious to happen.
The simplest for me, and like, you know, that's probably a doctoral thesis right there, that question, but the simplest for me is, what are we doing with the 100-point scale and letter grades? Like, I know it's the holy grail, and I know, you know, we can't touch that and all that sort of stuff, but you want to kill curiosity? You put a mark out of 10 on some level of it, whether it's the first draft or it's the final. If people know that's the end result, all they're going to be worried about is, what do you want me to do so I can get my 10 out of 10? And there are other ways to give feedback. For me, that's the simplest one. And I know it's the biggest one, and there's all, you know, people get hot and bothered about that. And it's not new news that that's a problem in learning. But for me, watching, especially in our context, K to 9, basically say, in this context, even more than before, we actually don't know who's doing the work at home. Could be parents, could be siblings, could be actually the kids. We are given feedback. We're given room for multiple iterations, but we're not putting a number or letter on it. And the ceiling hasn't fallen in. And kids are actually still learning. So for me, that's the biggest one.
Darren, I love it, man. I appreciate your thoughts and appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, great, Eric. It's always a treat to chat. And hopefully, when this all settles out, we'll get to travel again, too. So I look forward to it.
Thanks, Darren.